Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, Education and Outreach Manager at the NAGB, standing in for your regular host, Amanda Colson, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move or traveling in foreign lands by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com or by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store. So tonight in the studio with me is Matthew Reming, curatorial assistant at the National Art Gallery. And we've been talking about our experiences in Grand Bahama with the Inter-Island Traveling Exhibition, which we took there on April 2nd. So we were both in Grand Bahama from April 2nd to April 12th. Is that right?
April 12th, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we just got back on Friday. How about that? Just got back on Friday, completely and utterly exhausted, but with tons of ideas.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, Matthew has been sharing some of his thoughts about what it meant to be there, working so closely with the education department, as someone from curating, from the curatorial department. And while the Inter-Island Traveling Exhibition is very much a collaboration between the curatorial and the education department, most times curatorial very much deals with the work, and education deals with all the programming. And I think sometimes there are overlaps, sometimes there are not. But for Matthew, this is the first time he participated in that overlap where he was able to assist and be a part of some of that programming and meet so many new people, and also see what how education kind of deals with all of the many, many constituents that we encounter while we're moving around.
Definitely.
So we did a lot of things that while we were in Freeport and Grand Bahama. And one of them was the mural program. So along with the traveling exhibition, we also have a traveling mural program. This is the third time we've done it. Fourth. So the first one was done in Exuma in 2017. And then since then, we've taken it to Eleuthera, Andrus, and now Grand Bahama. And the reality is that the traveling exhibition could not be possible without the assistance of partners on the ground. It just couldn't happen. And I have to say, we got an amazing amount of support from people in Grand Bahama. Miss Geneva Rutherford from the Sir Charles Hayward Library.
Yes.
Her and Alisa Robinson from Jack Hayward High School. I don't know what we would have done without them, in all honesty. They were the ones who ran behind the schools to make sure that they knew that we were coming and that there was programming for the teachers and the students, and that they needed to be a part of it, both of them. And Alisa Robinson was instrumentalist in us actually finding a wall for the mural, you know, and putting us in touch with the Port Authority, who gave us a wall in downtown Freeport, and also made sure we had water, running water and electricity while we were out there for 7 days painting this mural. So we're very thankful to them for that. And then we were able to meet a lot of other teachers through the mural. So we met Sean Sears from Bishop Michael Eldon School. He and his art club, they had the winning design for the mural. But it wasn't just him and his students coming out almost every day working with us. It was Alisa Robinson. It was Ben Ferguson, who's also a teacher at Jack Hayward School. We also had several young artists who came out and worked with us. Antonio and Andre, so talented, quietly doing their own thing. And I'm like, you need to connect with the NAGB. Like, you are doing work that shouldn't be just kind of stuck out here in isolation in Grand Bahama.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are opportunities for you. Stay in touch with us.
Yep.
So they were all coming out and working with us consistently. And then we had people who were just dropping by.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Like Miss Lorna,
Miss Lorna. I can't remember your last name right now. Sorry, Lorna. But, you know, she passed by in her car with her grandson and said, "Hey, how do I get to be a part of this?" And I said, "Park your car and grab a brush." And that's exactly what she did. Mm-hmm. She was out there with us for almost 2 hours helping us to paint this mural. So it was there was a lot of opportunities for organic exchange.
Yeah, that was powerful.
It was powerful. A lot of support. And then, of course, when you think about partners again, the Rand Nature Center, which is one of the national parks that comes under the Bahamas National Trust in Grand Bahama, they donated the use of their gallery, the Glory Banks Gallery, for the entire duration of the exhibition, which is up until May 26th. So if you are in Grand Bahama and you want to see this particular exhibition, it's going to be there until May 26th. So you have lots of time to go and see it. The Rand Nature Center is open Monday to Friday from 9 to 4. I think I got that right. 9 to 4 p.m. And then on Saturday from 9 to 2.
Yes.
I think I have all those times right. And if you want to take a school group, you just need to get in touch with them. You know, they'd be happy to have you come and take a look at the space, at the gallery, at the work. But also, if you're going there to take a look at the work, you might as well take a walk around the park, too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful park.
It's a beautiful park. So we got assistance from them. Five-star shipping. Mr. Lucy Barros donated the use of his truck and his team to help us transport the work from the boat to the Rand Nature Center and back. And, you know, it sounds like it's not a lot, but if we had to find money to pay for all these things,
yeah,
it just couldn't happen. So we are eternally grateful to all of our partners on any of the islands we go to for helping us to make this possible for your communities. You know, we're so thankful. And then we also get to meet really, really great people. Really great people.
Yes,
so, you know, Matthew and I we landed in Freeport on Tuesday. We got started with the exhibition, installing the exhibition. But on Wednesday, we started with the mural. And that was an experience unto itself. That was interesting.
Yeah.
It was, we learned a lot. We met a lot of great people. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
So, you know, so Matthew, what were your impressions, you know, in terms of working on that mural with this group of people? Like, what do you feel were some of, like, the most positive takeaways?
Well, the most positive takeaways is always the response from the communities that you're working in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a few murals in NASA with the university and with the National Art Gallery. And we always have this conversation about how when you're working in a public space, you become public property, basically. You know?
Yes.
Anybody walking past can talk to you. Anybody driving past can slow down and have a conversation with you and talk about the community and talk about how they feel like the work affects the community, and mm-hmm. they ask you what the work is about, and you talk about nation building, all of the things.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah. So it's always positive when you're working in a community and you get feedback
mm-hmm.
that, you know, encourages the work, and feedback that you weren't expecting, you know, because you're in somebody else's community, you're a stranger. You don't know how they're going to react to mm-hmm. your involvement in the space. But it's powerful when you see people and they want to assist too, because they care about their spaces, they care about their community. So when you see people like Ms. Lorna and the young artists and who come out and give their time and are working for free
mm-hmm.
and working on the wall because they care about the beautification of their environment and their community, That's a powerful thing to see. And, you know, in Nassau, all you hear about Freeport is rumors, you know?
Right.
That's what we get, rumors and myths and stories. But to be in the space and see how people are affected by the economy and how people are still affected by the storms, and to find them there not broken is
mm-hmm.
inspirational
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
things are definitely still hard in Grand Bahama.
Yes, very much so.
Things are definitely still hard, you know? People looking for work and people are looking for opportunities. So when you see people who are still willing to give their time for free because they care deeply about the community that they exist in, that is a powerful experience. And it speaks to the resiliency of those communities and of the Bahamian people in general. And that's something that's necessary to mm-hmm. be spoken about, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. And, you know, we were able to get a lot of visibility while we were there as well. through Sir Charles Hayward Library, Miss Rutherford, Godfrey Porton.
Beautiful library.
If I know beautiful. Matthew was so upset that we don't have anything like that in Nassau.
Not that I've experienced.
No, it is a gorgeous library, and everyone who works there takes extreme pride in the fact that it's such a lovely library.
And it was always in use by people of like all demographics, retirees, school students, young people, everybody.
The list went on, everybody. And, you know, Ms. Rutherford, who is, I hope I'm saying this right, the head librarian there. I don't know if that, Ms. Rutherford, if you're listening, I'm not sure that's the official title, but I'm going to say head librarian. You can always correct me later. But, you know, she was so generous in allowing us the use of that space for 3 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had an entire space designated just for us to use. We had the teacher's workshop there on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That was April 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And about 11 art teachers came out from different schools. And we had a great time. Super engaged group.
Yeah.
So many great things happening with them. And then on Monday and Tuesday of last week, we had the high school kids coming from about, I'm thinking it's about 11 high schools.
I think so.
It was about 60 kids
were
in that room. 60 children. And they had, again, incredibly engaged group. We had a great time. They made a lot of fantastic work.
Beautiful work.
And then on Tuesday, we had the primary schools, and we had about, I think, it's about 8 schools, and about 40 children were there from the primary schools. And again, same energy, super engaged. Everybody's so happy to be there. The children had so much to contribute, especially. And then, of course, for those teachers who wanted us to come to their schools and talk to specific groups about what the NHEB does, you know, what kind of careers you can have in the arts, because there's so many careers in the arts. For our portfolio workshop, I actively went and compiled a list of all of the jobs that you can have in the creative field. And I think that list was almost 20 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
The sheaf of paper was so thick, I could barely get a staple through it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody ever tells any of you aspiring artists, creative practitioners, that there are no jobs in the arts, I suggest you come find me and I can give you that lovely sheaf of papers, because it is an extensive list. But, you know, so we were invited to 5 schools. We went to Mary Starr. Mary Starr was
beautiful.
It was inspiration. That's the only thing I could say. I mean, Matthew, I think you need to speak to that, because I didn't even have words by the time I was finished.
Listen.
So Mary Starr is one of the Catholic schools in Freeport. We were invited there by Miss Anderson, the art teacher there.
Yes.
Art and music teacher there. And we got there at a really great time, because they were getting ready for an annual, I think it was like a festival they were having.
Yeah.
It's called the Down Home Festival. And we weren't able to go to the event that Friday, but we were definitely able to witness some of the areas that were already installed and able to see some of the practices that were going on as well. But Matthew, I guess you could tell me what your thoughts about that, because I was definitely blown away.
Listen, that was inspirational. First of all, I'm always inspired by the work small children make, because they have no inhibitions.
At all.
And they're not worried about skill or any of that stuff. They're just expressing themselves, and they make beautiful work. And it's always lovely to see. And the teachers there at Mary Starr are doing a brilliant job. They had a small museum set up. They had students researching their ancestry. They had family trees going. They had batik cloth work. And they were doing paper mache. And they were doing sculptures. And there was we came in on a rake and scrape
rehearsal
session. And they were doing dances and native dances and playing rake and scrape, and it was powerful, beautiful stuff.
It was, and I mean, it's really wonderful to see educators who are working hard to make sure that our youth, our children, know where they come from.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that we don't do enough of. many of us don't really know where we come from. We don't know our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And part of that's just bad record keeping generally in this country, but yeah. It's also a cultural thing as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, some things we don't want to talk about.
Some things we don't want to talk about, and that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. But it was really inspiring to see this happening in a primary school space. And everywhere we went, I mean, we went to Jack Hayward, and heaven knows you could not find somewhere to sit in Miss Robinson's class because she collects everything, like any resources.
Everywhere.
Resources are limited, but she and the other art teacher there, Benjamin Ferguson, you know, they're working with what they have mm-hmm. and making it happen. And, mm-hmm. you know, that goes back to, again, feeling encouraged, mm-hmm. understanding that there are people like this in the communities who the museum can work with to support,
yeah.
right? Because it's not our job to do everything, but it is our job to support those people who are doing incredible things exactly. in the arts in their communities. And then, of course, we did the Sip and Paint. And Matthew's laughing because he has some unique experiences there. I was at the canvas saying, Draw along with me. But Matthew, you got to talk to some people. What did you hear while you were walking around?
Well, so the Sip and Paint was a good experience, you know, because you get to speak with people who aren't artists themselves.
And, yes.
You know, a lot of what we do at least my intersection with the community, I speak with a lot of artists, collectors, people who know the arts, who love the arts, who that's what their mind is focused on all day. So it's interesting to see people who are new to it and maybe scared of it a little bit and how they engage with it and, you know, the all of that stuff. And it's good to see people excited and having fun with the arts and making jokes about it and, you know, saying nice and crazy things and all of that stuff. And we did renditions of Max Taylor's work. Yeah.
We did. And I have to say, I think I almost scared everybody in the room because, of course, you know, a Sip and Paint workshop led by the National Art Gallery could not be a simple Sip and Paint.
No, no.
So we did a paint like Max Taylor, and we went back to his more abstract drawings and paintings. And initially, I think everybody got really scared.
Yeah. Yep.
But, you know, they stuck it out. By the time we were done, everyone left with something they felt really good about.
Yeah.
That was not a flower.
Yeah. Not a seashell.
And not a seashell. We did not do flowers, and we did not do seashells because it would have been, I think that would have been a bit of an insult to the exhibition because
mm-hmm.
there was nothing in that exhibition about seashells and flowers.
Yeah.
So then
that goes back to our conversation that we had the other day about, intersectionality, you know, needing to bridge the art and Bahamian history back into these things that are fun and relatable for everybody. And,
and
you know, people get to see Max Taylor's work in a new light because that was work so I'm sure none of them had ever seen before and experienced. So that's a good teaching moment. Too,
it was a teaching moment. And it was, and you know, all of the programming around the traveling exhibition is free. Mm. Which meant that for the Sip and Paint, we had to turn people away because we had 50 people in that room. And I think by the time people were still trying to register, it could have easily gone to 60, but we had to stop at 50 because we just wouldn't have been able to fit them in the room.
Yeah.
But we all had a great time.
Beautiful time.
We met a lot of great people. And, you know, at the Sip and Paint, I always remember this, we were going over everything we'd done while we were in Freeport, and everyone... I felt like everybody, they were going to give us a standing ovation.
Yeah.
They were so excited by it. And it's not about us.
No.
That's the important thing. It was, yes, it was encouraging, but it was more encouraging because we knew that it made a positive impact on the community because people don't react to things like that unless it's helping their communities and them in a positive way. Matthew? Thank you so much for coming on tonight on Blind Canvas. Thank you for sticking out with me in Freeport.
My pleasure.
Because goodness knows there was a moment where we were like, we have to get up this morning. But we did it. We did it. We got out and we made it happen. And thank you to all of you for tuning in tonight. And if you want to learn more about our traveling exhibition, you can go to our website at nagb.org.bs. And if you want to register for the East Area Hunt, again, that's on Saturday, starts at 10. You can go to our website again, and go down to events, you'll see the Easter egg hunt right there. Click on that and then go to the link in the event page, and that will take you to the registration form. Have a good night, and thank you for listening to Blank Campus.